Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message.
Good morning, everyone. My wife and I, we spend quite a lot of time talking to people in Australia at the moment. It's where my eldest son and his wife and our new grandson is. And in Australia, it is 31 degrees centigrade. And they're 11 hours ahead of us. So that means, by my working out, you get your shorts and t-shirts on tonight. Around about 8 or 9, there's going to be a heat wave. Right? Just 11 hours difference. It's amazing. 31 degrees tonight. Now, of course, that's not how it works, is it? Wouldn't that be great? The truth is, Australia isn't 11 hours ahead of us. It's 6 months and 11 hours ahead of us. That's the difference, of course. Because there are these things called seasons, right? The Earth goes around the sun in a funny elliptical orbit, but that's not really what makes the seasons. The interesting thing is God decided that our wonderful planet should be slightly weird and tilted at an angle of 23 degrees. How many degrees? 23 degrees. Because the Earth is tilted off its axis by 23 degrees, that's what makes these wonderful things called seasons. And even though Australia, we say, is 11 hours ahead of us, and that's helpful for working out phone calls and video calls, the truth is, for us, it's mid-autumn, and for them, it's mid-spring. They're about to enter a totally different time of the year. What about people who live on the equator? Do they still have seasons? Well, they do, but just too largely. Wet or dry. That's it. What about people who live at the extremes, way in the north of Norway or Finland, and the very few scientists who live near the South Pole? Do they have seasons? Well, they do, but it's largely dark or light, their seasons. They can have months. Get this, fancy this. A month or two or three or four of darkness. And then a couple of months of nothing but the sun being up. You just can't escape seasons. And it's all because God decided that the earth should be tilted. We're tilted too. That's how God made us. That's what makes humans unpredictable. It's what makes us different from each other. It's what makes us be able to navigate a world in a way that is different than animals navigate the world. And some seasons are cold and dark and wet, and other seasons are warm, hot and dry. But just like our planet, we're tilted too. And I'm ending this little season we're in, this series that we're in called Stand, by talking about seasons today. Is that okay? When I've done this series before under a different name many years ago, I actually started with this talk because I thought it made more sense and you put people at ease and then you get into the nitty-gritty. But I've done it a different way around this time. We started off this series called Stand by talking about the most basic thing, that even though we may feel like the wind has been knocked out of our sails and we don't feel like we're walking on a mountaintop and you don't feel like everything's going right with you and your prayers aren't being answered within 30 seconds and God giving you everything you need, but we all go through these really tough times. I think the way I described it was, we hear the song, "When the Saints Go Marching In," but we can hardly muster any energy just to get out of bed, right? Many of us feel like that. If not physically, we feel it in our head, or even we feel it in our spirit sometimes. And we started by talking about the most basic thing, that we have to be loved. Now, the truth is we are loved. And I explained that. God loves us, and there's nowhere you can go to escape that love. But there's a different thing about choosing to be loved, to recognize that you are and to accept it. Because unless you understand that you are loved, you can do nothing to respond to that love. And even good, great people, you will just wear yourself out being good because you've forgotten that you're loved. So that's where we started. And then Mark spoke the week after, and he spoke from a lovely psalm. And the sense of the psalm in the middle of it was this, that we can be confident in God. No matter what's going on, we can be confident in him. Even in those times when all we need from God is the shadow of his wing to be under, we can be confident in him. And then last week I spoke about quite an odd thing, really, which we often fail to recognize as Christians, because sometimes we can be a little bit too nice with God. And we read some parts from the Bible where prophets and psalmists got angry and they dared speak their heart to God. Why this, Lord? Why is this going on? Why are you not talking to me? Why are you blessing the wicked and not blessing me? Why am I sick? Why am I ill? And we looked at some of those and recognized this, that God can quite easily handle those kind of conversations. Don't do God the dishonor of saving him from your feelings. Can I say that again? Don't do God the dishonor of saving him from your feelings. He knows anyway. Let it out. Because if you don't let it out, how can he get in to do some open heart surgery on you and help you through? And so we talked about the most important thing about having conversations with God like that, that you also stay in his vicinity. The title of the talk was Be Near. And we looked at that strange character in the Bible called Job, who encountered such a long time of being stripped of everything that mattered to him. And he had some tough things to say to God. He had some harsh things to pray to God. But because he stayed close and dared have those conversations with God, God could speak and he could hear. So that's where we've been. And today we're going to look at seasons and how all those kind of things can be put in a setting, a context, if you like, that just helps put us at ease a bit. But first, let's pray. Why don't you take your hand and pop it somewhere near your heart. Father God, we thank you because you do already know all about us. And so we sit here today, and in a very real sense, we're laid bare before you, because you know our minds and our hearts and our distractions and the things that trouble us and the things that we enjoy. And you know all that, and yet right now we choose to give you our attention because we want to hear from you, maybe in general ways, maybe in specific ways. But Lord, we ask that you'd give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that obey. In your name. And everyone said, Amen. Apparently, a story goes that there was a man who wanted to teach his four sons, how many sons? Four sons, some wisdom. So he told his sons that he was thinking about investing in growing fruit trees, in particular pear trees, and he wasn't sure how to do it. He needed some research doing, some due diligence. So he said to his four sons, I'm going to send you off to analyze a pear tree, to decide whether it's something we should invest in. And he had four sons. He didn't want to risk sending them all off at once in case anything happened to them and he was left with no help at home. So he sent them off at different intervals, and he sent the first one off, and the son came back with a report. He said, I found the pear tree in the distant land, Father, and this pear tree, you really don't want to invest in it. It's gnarled, it's ugly, and it's bare, it's barren against this landscape. Okay, son, thank you. A couple of months later, he sent his next son off, son number two. And the son came back with a report and said, "Hey, Dad, I'm really not sure. I saw this pear tree and it was quite hopeful. It seemed like full of promise, but there was nothing going on with it. Just little green things hanging off branches now and then. I'm really not sure we should invest our life savings in this." The third son, which son? The third son went off and researched a pear tree and came back a few months later and told his dad and said, "Dad, this is amazing. This is the prettiest thing you've ever seen in your life. I saw this tree and it was just full of white blossoms. I could hardly see any of the branches or the trunk. It was just white blossoms all over it, and it smelled amazing. Thanks, son." He sent the fourth son off, and a few months later, the fourth son came back and said, "Hey, Dad, I don't know what the others had been looking at, but all over this tree were the sweetest fruit you could imagine. The tree looked pretty worn out, Dad, but its branches were full of fruit, and I tasted one, and it's amazing." Now, of course, you know the story. You've heard about that story before. It would be so easy to say, "Hey, they were looking at four trees." The truth is they weren't looking at four different trees. How many trees were they looking at? One tree. And we could do that too. If we wanted, we could go off and look at a certain tree at different times of the year, and we would come back and we would write our description of it and pass it around, and they would be starkly different. Barren and ugly for a season of the year. The next season, sort of full of promise. There's something going on. There's a bit more life there, and it looks like something's about to happen, but it looks like something's about to happen for so long. I mean, who can cope with hoping for that long without anything happening? And then someone comes back and it's pretty. It looks pretty. It looks attractive. And then you go again and the tree looks a little more, bit more worn out, but it's full of stuff. You're like that too. The problem is we don't like to think about it. Because we read the self-help books and we go on the YouTube videos and we hear our heroes talking to us. And even though they don't use this kind of poetic biblical language, really what they're saying is you can be fruitful all the time. Success, you dream it in. You attract it. You can be successful all the time. You can wake up every morning and breathe in deeply and, wow, you're going to live in a continual season. The truth is, even they don't. But talking about seasons doesn't really sell. Because you and I know what seasons mean, right? My wife, her favorite season is spring. Does anyone else have a favorite season? Autumn. Well, this is your time of year. This is great. Anyone else? Spring? Summer. Summer, okay. I think spring is my favorite time of year. It's interesting that someone's got autumn. That's great. Isn't it interesting how we react to these different things? Some people genuinely do like the stay in, wrap up warm, dark nights of winter, whereas many other people, that's just the worst thing. They're out buying the blue lights to keep them awake and alert. And we respond in different ways, and that's because you're tilted, and I'm tilted. And just like places on the earth that are still on the same tilted earth, we feel things in different ways, and we handle things in different ways. And some of us can cope with darkness. I was watching a documentary just the other day. I think it was I don't know whether anyone's seen it, the race around the world that some celebrities have been doing, and one of them bumped into the reindeer herders up in the north of Norway or something. And it's nearly dark all the time. And they love it up there. I couldn't cope, right? But they wait for these light times of year when it's amazing. They get all the jobs done, all the exciting stuff done, and then the rest of the year it's down to the bread and butter, just making the day's work. And we're also very, very different, but I can tell you one thing is the same, that you will have seasons, and notice I say seasons, not a season. I'm not talking about life stages here. I'm not talking about moving from the joys and the exuberance of youth into slightly middle-agedness, and then you enter a different season. You're in this season for 25 years, and next. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about things that come around a lot more regular than that. Seasons of the soul. If you go to Psalm 16, I'm pretty certain it's Psalm 16, but it's also mentioned elsewhere in the Old Testament. Talks about the night seasons. Lord, you are with me in the night seasons. What's going on there? It's a recognition that we can't look at each other continually and say, hey, you're going to be in that season because you're following Jesus. You're going to be in that season, and it's going to be a great season of success and joy and hope, and you're going to have such an inner peace you're going to carry with you. We can't do that. We all have ugly, gnarled seasons, right? And we all have seasons where there's an anticipation. There's a promise going on, but it's not here yet. The in-betweeny kind of stage. And you're never sure where the next thing's going to come, but you know you're not quite as bad as where you were. If indeed it was bad at all. And then we come to the next season whereby everything's just great. Everything seems to be going great around me, but you're missing something. And then, of course, when you come to produce the fruit, you realize that producing fruit is hard work. So you're producing fruit and you're being fruitful in your life and things are happening. But boy, are you tired. We're just like trees. We just go through seasons. Some of the famous characters in the Bible, we tend to forget that what we're reading about are seasons of life. And why we forget that is because we're so interested in the story itself, right? Can I just talk about David for a little bit? I don't want to talk about him much, but David, some of us know the story of David. He was just a shepherd boy, one of the youngest of his clan, of his father's tribe, and he did well looking after sheep, and one day a great prophet came along called Samuel and anointed him king. What did he anoint him? I mean, that's a big deal, right? I mean, out of nowhere. How about a seasonal change that happens like that? You're just a faithful shepherd boy, and along comes a prophet, and suddenly the next minute you are anointed king. He wasn't king. But he was anointed king. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was anointed king, I would expect things to kind of take a real turn for the better. I mean, you'd start buying your king stuff, right? You'd start getting all your kingly ducks in order and work all this kind of thing out. And sure, in that period, we read about him fighting Goliath. That's a great little story. But let me tell you what happened next. He was running for his life. Probably for years, from a jealous King Saul. Hang on, David had a visit from a prophet. He was anointed king. He beat the largest of the enemy's warriors. And then he spent the next few years of his life running. And we read about the kind of stuff he wrote as he was running. They're in our Psalms. And you can tell he's on the run. And he's in a season of struggling. And sometimes he doesn't think God's with him. But he's in that season. I've been there. You've been there. God said something to you. It's a kind of promise. Maybe a prophetic word. And you just want to start getting ready for it. But what happens is a period of, I don't know, stillness, of nothing, of waiting. Joe read for us a story of Elijah today. Elijah's seasons changed so quickly. He definitely needed therapy, did Elijah. There is no doubt. But he was up a mountain exhibiting the power of God in front of all of these evil prophets who were worshipping pagan gods. And he had an amazing victory. And the next minute, he's running for his life, thinking he's the only one left, hiding away, wondering whether he'll ever hear God again. Some seasons are short, and some of our seasons are very, very long. And I wish that wasn't the case. I'm not going to name people. I look at some of you here and I think, wow, so much of your life is in darkness. Not because of anything you've done. Not because of any great sins. It's just been the way it is for you. And I don't get that. You've had a cold and you've had a dark life, but now and again you've had a season of light. And then it's back to darkness again. I don't mean darkness as in sin and filth and degradation. I just mean tough. It's tough, right? Let me name someone. Laura. She's one of our greatest helpers in youth ministry. There's Laura. Laura, give us a wave. Something happened to Laura that no one gets, right? Do you get it, Jean? Do you get why what happened to Laura happened to Laura? I have no idea. I've got some heavy questions for God when I meet him. Unless Laura gets there first. But you're there, you're worshipping God, you're exuberant for God, you know, and then suddenly something happens in life where your body says, new season. And your spirit's alive and bursting. And your body says, nah, new season. How long is it going to last? I have no idea. So this is real stuff. And for some people, it's a physical thing. For some people, it's mental. For some people, it's a spiritual thing. And God knows about it. And just like trees, we go through these seasons. We just don't know how long the seasons are going to last. But we have to learn to live in the truth of these seasons. We've talked about David. We talked about Elijah. What about these? The whole nation of Israel in captivity? In Egypt, slaves to the Egyptians, being mistreated. And then a savior comes along. He's called Moses. What's he called? Just checking you're listening. He comes along and he rescues them, right? And he leads them to where? The promised land. Most of them don't get there. They die in the desert. Handling this new season of journeying from one thing to the next. It's a long season. And there's stuff for them to learn, and they learn it, and the blessings of God are there all the time. I mean, wouldn't you like food dropping from heaven every day? Right? No more Tesco's. No more asking Moses whether there's a Lidl at the Red Sea, you know? It just comes from heaven. They're seeing miracles around them. Moses, we're thirsty, okay? And Moses has a chat with God. And water comes from rocks. I mean, God is doing amazing, incredible stuff. But there's a season for them to get through. And then we read people like St. Paul. I always call Paul St. Paul because there are people called Paul in the church. And as far as I know, none of you wrote any of the Bible. Okay, so I tend to just put Saint in front so that we know who we're talking about. And we handle this church thing in so many ways because of what Paul wrote. But we forget that his life is condensed into just a few pages for us. What did Paul do between that place and that place? He made tents for a few years. That's what he did, to make some money. Where are all the miracles he did? They're not written about. He probably didn't do any. What about all the nice letters he wrote? Well, he probably sent one or two off to Corinth, but they were no good because we haven't got them. He made tents. That's what he did for a season. Hoping that these buds on him would come to their proper time and God would say, hey, time for some blossom now, Paul. Time for some fruit now, Paul. It doesn't matter where we turn in the Bible for inspiration from people. We have to, once we get under the skin of those people, we realize they're just like us. That they have a daily grind, right? Preparing for the next thing. Do you really think you can be fruitful all the time. I would be worn out. What about you, Dan? Worn out, producing that much fruit all the time. We can't be fruitful all the time. Do you really think that we can be full of the energy and the promise of spring all the time? No. I don't think God would do that to us. Do we think we will never be laid bare with our soul showing some of our gnarledness and weakness? Do we think that will never happen to us? Of course it will happen to us. I often use the analogy of a bunch of grapes. Anyone like grapes? What's your favorite? Red or? Red grapes? Green? Stop it. Elaine says, stop it, not green. You know, why we like grapes, I mean, they do look pretty. That's why so many artists have painted them over the years. They do look pretty. But why we really like grapes is because they taste amazing, right? But for them to taste amazing, all the stuff that's inside has to come out, right? That's why you want a nice glass of wine. Someone squashed these poor grapes. Take these lovely things, all packaged, lovely, looking beautiful, and you want the goodness out of them, and you've got to squeeze them, right? You've got to turn this prettiness into something else for the goodness to come out. Let me tell you, if you look at some of the winters that are in the Bible, and you wonder why God's allowed the winters, it's because he wants that goodness out. You won't get your spring without the goodness coming out. There are things that God knows about that we don't know about. And let me tell you the reason we don't know about them. Because you and I are so focused on days and weeks. We're focused on days and weeks. What we're doing now. What's going on in our heart now. What are we planning to do next week? Why don't those people like me anymore now when they liked me last week? Why, when I do this thing today, didn't it work when it worked yesterday? And we live our lives, quite rightly so, focused on the days and the weeks. Yet, this is what I believe. Just as we can look around our planet now and understand something about tilts and axis and rotation and understand something about seasons, God sees us. And he sees us not understanding the seasons, but getting frustrated with the hard grind or the difficult times. And we're going, God, what about a day? What about the week? What about the day? What about the week? What about the day? What about the week? And God's going, you're in a season. You're in a season. And sometimes we all need, me included, we all need people, humans, to come along and tell us that this season will pass. Nature doesn't need that because it gets it, right? It gets if it wants to produce fruit next year, it's got to have a winter in between and a spring of promise. And it's got to get rid of some stuff in autumn. But we don't get that because in our tiltedness, we're focused on the days and the weeks. But we need people come along, and maybe I'm the person who's come along for you today because you're going through your days and weeks and you are so frustrated. And I've come along and said, hey, this is not a string of bad days. This is a season that you're in. And God sees you in the season. And I can tell you for certain, this season will pass. It will pass. It's why I know there'll always be a morning for someone at some point. Because I know the earth rotates, right? The sun will come up in the morning. For some people who just live in the north of Norway, morning can be a very long time away. But the sun will rise, and your season will pass. Now, I know when I say a phrase like that, this season will pass, most people are thinking, oh yeah, thank goodness I'll be out of this winter and into spring. But it works also if you're a spring person or a summer person. And I give you the warning, this summer will pass. And that faith that you say you have in God, all the stuff you say you're storing up during summer to get you through hard times, will it be there? That's why we need to stay near to God. I could tell you stories of people who they've found Christ, their life has turned around for the better. They've enjoyed God's initial blessings of being rid of this habit or that habit and finding a partner, and then God just blessing them in certain ways, and they've risen and risen and risen. It's been like a summer for them, and their ability to stay close to God and to have a deep faith has declined at the same time as their heat of the summer has risen. And then summer has ended and autumn has come, and all they should have had left was their faith in God to stay close and to be able to stay sane and to stay focused, and they've got nothing. They forgot the giver and they just enjoyed the gifts. Whatever season we're in, whatever season you're in right now, whether you're sitting there and thinking, I'm in winter right now, Russ, and it's been a long one, or whether you're thinking, hey, I've just had 3 promotions on the trot, I've just had my third kid, and none of them have cried during the night ever, and they've all been absolutely amazing. It's just like I'm in a continual summer. God is really blessing me. Let me tell you, if that's the case, stay the closest to God you can be. You build up your stores of faith. You be generous on every occasion with what God is blessing you with. You learn lessons of giving and generosity and kindness. You learn lessons of getting on your knees and praying before God and thanking Him for everything you have, because summer will pass and autumn will come. And for those of you that are stuck in a long winter, let me tell you, God knows it. And just like the people of Israel going through a desert, not knowing where the next little was, He can make stuff fall from heaven for you in the middle of your winter. And He will, but stay close. Stay faithful. Have those honest conversations with God through winter. He can take it. He's big enough. He understands. He's thinking about spring for you all the time, but He knows where you are. And you can't think about spring because we're stuck in the days and the weeks because we're humans and we're tilted. But God knows. Stay close. Stay near to Him. I hope we can be a church as well that recognizes that each of us go through seasons. I mean, God does. He recognizes it. And God is quite capable of changing His approach to us depending on the season. You know that? You know, sometimes when I'm going through a tough time, I sort of imagine God coming up and going, it's okay, don't worry about that now. And you go through another season where you're strong and you're full of it, and every time you read the Bible, stuff jumps out and the Holy Spirit's going, this is for you, Russ, and you're on there. And you're expecting God to come up and go, hey, Russ, don't worry about that now. But instead, He goes, it's time to get on with that now. Get that fixed. That is no good in your life. What? Are you being inconsistent, God, with me? No. I just know what season you're in. So why can't we be a bit like that with each other? Now, I know we don't go around wearing badges. Russ, spring. Right? And then a few weeks' time, you go, it goes, it's a bit smudged, and you use a different colour ink. Russ, winter. And we walk in and we want everyone to go there, there. And look, that's not real. That's not going to happen. But our antenna and our understanding that we are human and we go through seasons can help us a lot in our ability to be kind to each other and understand one another. Every month or two, usually every 4 or 6 weeks, I do this really strange thing. Dan knows about it, but not many other people do. I pop down to the crematorium and visit everyone I've buried. Some of you are glad I'm going, aren't you now? That's a really weird thing to do. That's what I do. And a couple of years, it's a really handy dog walk. That's one reason, although that's not the most. But I'm quite a melancholic chap, right? It's an effort for me to be exuberant. It really is. And I'm quite melancholic. And I find the whole thing quite peaceful. But one thing I do understand is that sometimes I'll find a few spots and you know who's been affected by those graves there. Or those parts where the ashes are. Sometimes you'll go past 2 infants. And you know their mum. You think, I don't want that season for anyone else. What a winter that was, right? And that mum comes into church in that time and she doesn't want to talk about everything, but we need to understand these are not bad days. These are not situations you can avoid dealing with. But this person is in a tough season. How does God want me to help that person in that season? What about when someone's in a summer season? They can be a help to others, right? But they'll also need help. Fruit needs bringing in, right? Fruit needs bringing in. We all need people around us. And this wonderful thing that Jesus created when he chose people to be with him, this wonderful thing called the church, the gathered sent out ones, this wonderful weird thing. Boy, we're supposed to be together and understand something about each other and walk with each other through our systems, seasons. I'm going to help you with 3 things. The Bible is full of promises, and I've found at least 15 or so things that God promises every day. I'm going to tell you just 3 things that God promises you and I every day that will help us in every season. Are you ready for these 3 things? Here's the first thing. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, each day will have enough. Some of you are ahead of me. Say it out loud. Each day will have enough trouble of its own. All right? Don't go making more trouble for next week. Don't you go worrying about next week's troubles. Don't you go worrying about tomorrow's troubles, because each day will have enough. Why are you promising us this, Russ? I'm not. Jesus did, right? He told his followers, each day will have enough trouble on its own. Don't you be one of these people who come to me going, oh, there's no trouble in my life. Well, you're not close enough to Jesus. Get closer to him, because he had enough trouble, right? It's coming. And look, you will go through a season where you have periods of intense trouble. And I don't get it. I don't understand it. But I know we're seasonal creatures. And other people will have very little trouble that they can just deal with. And they can just so easily bear with it. But don't worry, their trouble's coming at some point. Each day will have enough trouble on its own. There's a promise. Here's another one. Matthew chapter 6 again. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us this day. Say it again. Give us this day. Say it again. Give us this day. What is bread for? Putting in the fridge, letting it go stale. And you think, well, I never made those ham sandwiches. No. What does it mean for the people Jesus was teaching to pray? Give us this day. How important was bread? No bread, no waking up in a week. Okay, no nourishment. This is what you eat. This is your staple diet. Give us this day our daily bread. Look, you may have trouble every day, but God will give you bread every day. Don't miss it. Someone once said to me, if you keep your lap where God's opportunities drop, you will never go wrong. And sometimes I think we're over here and we're seeing God dropping his daily bread and we're over here. Catch the daily bread. Stay close with God. Stay true with him. Listen to him. Talk with him. He will give you your daily bread. And here's the third thing, and this is going to come on the screen. It's from a wonderful book called Lamentations. There's a cheery old book. Let's have a good old lament, everyone. This is what it says. Read it with me. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness, and I will wait for him. Maybe I should have just read this verse and not preached. Because of the Lord's great love. Do you know you're loved? I don't mean like you love golf, right? God doesn't love you like you love golf or your new car. Is that a different kind of thing? No matter how scratched or dinted or filthy you are, no matter how far gone you are, God's great love for you will find you. We can rejoice in that every day. We are not consumed. Look, if your winter's a long one, it will feel like a long one. It's tough. It's awful. But let me promise you this. You will not be consumed. You will not be consumed. His mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Don't open your eyes in the morning. Don't go straight to work. Don't get straight on your gadget and find out the latest bad news. Don't do that. Lord, today, there are some new mercies for me. There's all this stuff going on. I'm in a winter or I'm in an autumn. There's all this stuff going on. Or everything's great. I've just got to go on with the great stuff because I'm in a summer. I just want to get on with this great stuff. Just wait. Lord, today, there are new mercies for me today. I don't want to miss them. Keep me close to you. Great is his faithfulness. And I will. Anyone like me, you're just not very good at waiting. I've got a vinyl record player up in my office. I've not played it in a while because my office is all stripped and things untied. But I love that record player. And I love my vinyls. And it's not as handy as 2-button presses and I can get a whole David Bowie album off this thing. But let me tell you what it does. You get a record player out. Anyone remember record players? Anyone? Yeah, great. Okay. Let me find a chair. This is all of us in our current generation wanting to enjoy an album nowadays. Taylor Swift. Okay? I haven't got Taylor Swift on here, but this is how easy it would be. YouTube Music, Taylor Swift, play. And she's on, okay? This is the old days. This is the old days, right? Gotta read the sleeve notes. But they're pretty pictures. Little thing. Not supposed to do that. Yeah. Give me a Taylor Swift song. Shake it off, shake it off, shake it. I put a needle on the wrong place, right? Halfway through song, while reading it. Let me tell you, why tell you all that? Because some of us used to be good at preparing to listen. And we've lost the art of preparing to do anything, right? We just want God to come through for us right now. Right now. We want the breakthrough now. We want the season to change right now. We used to know how to prepare to listen. And God, like he did with Elijah, sometimes just whispers to us. He just comes quietly. He said, hey, listen, I'm getting you ready. Let me urge you as a church, let's try and rediscover the art of preparing to listen to him. I will wait for him because he is faithful. Come on, let's close our eyes.
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk, or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.